Hello and a very warm welcome to Section D, Monocle 24's weekly dedicated design show. I'm Henry Rhys Sheridan. Today we head to Florence to bring you a report from the 91st edition of Pitti Uomo, one of the most exciting events in the menswear calendar, which wrapped up last Friday. First up,
this time it was really about like a story that I created and a character for men's and a character for women's.
Tim Coppins, this year's menswear guest designer at Pitti, tells us about his collection at the show. Next.
No matter if they buy for urban and street and sneakers and stuff like I do, or if they buy classical menswear, everybody comes to Florence.
We take a closer look at the buyers looking for the best finds to stock their shelves for the next season. And then,
as you can see from the aesthetic that we decided to design, we go from ski suits to jogging wear, from boot to training shoes and so on.
We speak to designer Alessandro Sartori about his new collection for Italian brand Zegna. Plus, a chat with British design legend Paul Smith. All that coming up right here on Section D, Monocle 24's dedicated design show. Monocle's Daphne Hazard, Jamie Waters and Chiara Romillo are at the show. Without further ado, here's Jamie with their report.
As a buyer's trade show rather than a conventional fashion week like Milan or Paris, Pitti is better known for stalls than catwalk shows. But at a time when many designers are frustrated with the rapid pace and jam-packed schedules of fashion weeks, Pitti's status as an event off the beaten track is proving a great draw. Each season, the fair chooses one or two designers to stage special runway shows, and it has a knack for picking the most exciting names in the industry. Last season, it was Gosha Rubchinsky and Raf Simons, and this time it was Tim Coppens' turn. In recent years, the Belgian star's eponymous label has risen to the top of buyers' must-have lists thanks to its elegant, sporty designs. And in 2016, Coppens became creative director of Under Armour Sports, the fashion-forward offshoot of American athletics giant Under Armour. On the morning of Coppens' Pitti show, I caught up with him to talk about the benefits of showing in the Tuscan capital. But he began by telling me about the fictional characters that inspired his show.
This time it was really about like a story that I created and a character for men's and a character for women's. So Max comes out of this, is partially coming out of this Road Warrior movie, Mad Max Road Warrior movie. And then you have Tequila, so who's the girl who lives in probably Belgium, like a small village similar from where I come from. Max lives in a parallel universe somewhere in America. He goes to Europe, it's the end of the world, he is able to catch like a last plane, and he lands and he has a dirt bike, and he takes the dirt bike and he drives over to Tequila, who he met some time, and he wants to like see her last time before the end of the world, and that's sort of like the story. And out of that, there's like those dirt bike elements that we extracted, pants, graphics, colors, and then there's the equestrian element. Tequila has a horse. The horse has candy lips, so you'll see like shearling lanyards that come from like the horses, like they have these like I don't know what they're called, these like shearling beak, stuff like that. So all of that then comes together, and we make the collection out of that. Yeah, it's quite straightforward actually, but there's a lot of work and thought that goes into like the initial idea, and then you know the garments obviously make the collection. So I try to just make sure that each garment has like details, fabrications that are new, that are still fitting to the brand but also fit to the concept. And a couple of the favorite pieces, like there's like a bomber jacket in a Czech wool with like a shearling collar, which is super nice. It's a very wearable piece, but it still has like elements that are different from other things out there. So I think that's all. I always try to look for that different angle, whether it's in like a styling combo or just the garments. Like the tailor jackets have these elbow inserts that come from motorcycling as well, which are very contrasting. But when you look at it from the front, it looks like a quite traditional shape. So it's those like juxtapositions that you'll see a lot in this collection.
And I wanted to ask you about your decision to show in Florence, because your label's based in New York and you've showed there for the past 5 years. Why show to Florence? I mean, a lot of designers seem to be leaving traditional fashion weeks to show somewhere that's not necessarily a fashion week. Is that part of it, or what's the thinking?
I mean, the main reason was for this was because Lapo and Francesca approached us to ask us if we would be interested to show at Pitti. And I mean, it's being invited because we're invited to show here. It's a huge honor. And for me, it was sort of like after like having my brand for 4 or 5 years, it was like, oh yeah, absolutely. You know, I mean, the exposure, the platform is immense. And with last year's shows like Raf and Gosha, I think it is sort of like this unique place where people really come to see clothes and where they are focused on a couple of events. It's not like a full-on calendar with like 100 shows. There's only a couple of things here. And we're like the only show that is happening tonight. So that makes it quite unique for us. So everybody really comes and takes the time, and it's not like a rushing to like another thing. And, you know, when you do a collection, you work on it 6 months, you go sale or less, and then you go to sales and that's it. And then you show it. But there's a tremendous amount of work in like making that vision come to life when you do a show, and then doing that and then having like 5 minutes and then boom, over next to the next one. I think this is a different format a little bit. It gives it a lot more exposure, and that's also why I wanted to go so deep with the book and with the party and with the show. So really play on different elements of the collection the brand was about.
You also mentioned before that it's kind of a great platform to get a European audience by showing here. I'm assuming you're Americans are more familiar with your designs, and also through like Under Armour sportswear and things like that.
Yeah, I mean, Europe, I think travel in general has decreased. And if you're showing in New York, you get the main editors, the European ones, and definitely like the American ones. But here I have a lot more audience that is European and Asian that I would never be able to show the collection at. They'd see the collection in Paris at a sales level, or they see it like split up, fragmented, but not in the world that is shown here, which is the full collection, the styling, the music, and that's sort of what it is about also. You bring that vision to life with more than just like a garment hanging on a rail.
I'm interested in your design process. You've mentioned that there's this great sort of story behind your collection. Where does that initial idea kind of stem from?
I think a lot of it is just historical. Like, I think where I draw my main inspiration from is just the time when I grew up, when I was like my 20s, the 90s, 80s, like that's when I was, I guess, most active, going out, traveling around, and that's where I always draw inspiration from. But I also combine it with things that are happening now, whether it be in like garment construction or just what's happening in music or culture. So it's just like a constant inflow of information, and you edit through that. I think with this collection was really about like making that own story, and I love doing that, creating like these things that are not really real, just making some stuff up and then linking that to like very informed decisions that I have built up during my years of experience working for like fashion brands and making garments.
All buyers at the fair can agree on one thing. Pitti is a critical appointment in their calendar and one they would never dream of skipping. It doesn't really matter that most people don't write orders here and would rather wait for the quiet of affluent showrooms in Milan and Paris. Because this trade show is so early in the year, it is here that buyers take the pulse of the season, and all in a compact, navigable and very attractive location, the Renaissance Fortezza de Basso. The exhibitors here range from sneaker makers to traditional tailors, and the buyers, similarly, cover the full spectrum of retail ventures. There were around 24,000 of them this edition from more than 100 different countries. In the fair's halls, you'll find Danish online shop owners, as well as swarms of buyers from big Japanese department stores, and all of the independent multi-brand retailers in between. Each has their favourite pavilion, buying tactics and strategies with which to approach the mammoth task at hand. Monocle's Chiara Ramella caught up with three top buyers to understand how and why they get their business done here in Florence. She began by speaking to Daniel Werner, denim and urban buyer for the Cartier Group. Cartier has long been a traditional department store, but buyers such as Werner are helping it update its image.
Pitti was born at least as a bit of a classic trade fair.
True.
And it has recently changed and evolved a bit. Mm-hmm. But why is this a point of call for you, for the kind of buying that you do?
At first, it's the first show in the season. So for me, it's always important to come here to get a feeling how the mood of the season is, to see all the people, because like basically everybody is here. So no matter if they buy for urban and street and sneakers and stuff like that, like I do, or if they buy classical menswear, everybody comes, somehow everybody comes to Florence. And it has been always interesting because especially the Asian brands are showing here. You see quite a lot of Japanese brands, which are hard to find anywhere else. So it's just a must to go, either for networking or even like finding brands that are not showing anywhere.
And Cartier, some people think of as a bit of a heritage department store. Mm-hmm. How challenging or interesting, or where does your streetwear buying for such an establishment take you?
it is quite fun, like, because I didn't see myself working with this company as well. But they're doing a quite huge step in refurbishing all the three houses at the moment, and we're transforming our portfolio a little bit and modernizing everything. And due to these steps, like, we realized that we have to catch up with the younger clientele as well. That's where I came on board. And I tried to basically figure out the urban or younger thinking kind of world through the glasses of a luxury department store.
Hugo Wieck's career has followed a different trajectory. Once a buyer for Swedish department store NK, he is now the creative director and head buyer of one of Stockholm's very best independent stores, Nitty Gritty. This has led him to switch up his approach as a buyer. I catch him on a Thursday morning, just as he's about to dash off to catch a plane back home. For him, business is done quickly and efficiently here at Pitti.
So we've caught you just before you rush off and get on a flight back to Stockholm. And it's still Thursday. It's quite early to be leaving, some might say. Why do you decide to leave so early? Is Pitti done for you? Is it all to do in the first few days and then rush off?
For us, 2.5 days is kind of enough to cover what we need to do here. And I like coming in on Tuesday because there's still a lot of buyers who doesn't arrive here until Wednesday because maybe there are London collections before or something. So Tuesday for us is the best day. It's quite calm in the fair and we can get a lot of work done. And then Wednesday and Thursday is more about for browsing and checking out new stuff. So, yeah.
Do you talk to other buyers when you're here to confront what they're looking at or what you're looking at? Or is it quite a secret affair? Do you spot them around and see what they're looking at? Is there a bit of a kind of espionage going on?
From our point of view, no. We try to focus on the things we need to do. But of course, I mean, we meet friends and suppliers and other buyers here. And it's always good to have a talk and see what everyone is doing. But I mean, in the end, it's about sticking to your own thing and focusing on the things that work best for you. So that's the most important thing for us.
Some other buyers decide to stay until the bitter end. For Eric Jennings, menswear fashion director at department store giant Saks Fifth Avenue, no minute of Pitti is to be wasted. We meet on a very quiet Friday morning when most of the visitors have started making their way off to Milan and exhibitors are itching to start packing up after this hectic carousel.
It's almost the end of a very busy Pitti edition, but you still have brands to see and appointments to make. You really do take it till the very last minute.
Pitti Uomo is the only trade show that I go from the starting bell to the very ending of the show. Really, from the time they open the gate until they close the gate, this is the one trade show that I really dig deep and spend as much time at as possible.
It's obviously been quite a few years you've been coming here, and yet you're still excited to come here. What is so special about this?
If you love menswear, Pitti is the place to come. If you have a passion for it, this is the place you want to be. It's like when you fall in love, you get that warm feeling inside. That's exactly how I feel when I come here. It's kind of corny, but it's true.
So, going around the stands over the last few days, we've been asking who are the buyers that you're really waiting for, that you want to appear at the horizon, and so many times people have been telling us, we really want Saks.
Okay.
So what do you think in your strategy is appealing so much to the exhibitors that are really so keen to see you?
Well, I'm very responsive and I get hundreds and hundreds of requests to see brands, as you just witnessed a minute ago. I'm very respectful because I came from the brand side. I was an exhibitor here many, many years ago, so I understand what it's like to want a good store to come in. So I'm very respectful and I'm responsive. I return as many emails as I possibly can. I have a hit list, which I can show you, which is full of names and locations of the brands that I've committed to seeing. And that's why I'm here on the very last day when the fair is practically empty, because there's still a few that I didn't get a chance to say hello to. I treat it with respect because, again, I come from the brand side and I want to see as many as I possibly can.
Do you look for things that fit your own personal taste? Do you have a different mentality? Can you split the two? Is that possible?
I always joke, if the buyers bought the things that I like, we'd go out of business. Because you can't think that way. I can't take it too personally. Yes, I have my preferences, but I do understand that it's a business and the numbers are sacred. And so I want to make sure, again, it's the right brand with the right look at the right time. And I may love things, but I know that it's just never going to work at our store. So I have to take a step back and just appreciate the beauty of the things that I see and let it go.
What works then? How do you know it works?
It's that feeling when you're falling in love. You know, your palms start to sweat and your heart starts to race a little bit, and you think, oh my God, this is it. This is going to be a smash. This is going to be a great success. We're going to make a lot of money, and it's going to be a good thing. So yeah, I know it's like this gut that I, this instinct that I have, and I'm usually pretty good. I'm usually pretty good. So after 8 years, I still have my job, so that's a good sign.
And with this, he's off, beelining for Altea's stand in the now almost empty central pavilion. When the fanfare dies down, the fair shows itself for what it is, not a plaza full of strutting, overdressed men, but a place where the commercial heart of the industry comes to see and make deals, and not just see and be seen. For Monocle, in Florence, I am Chiara Rimella.
After a 5-year stint at Berluti in France, Alessandro Sartori is back with the company that made him his name, Zegna. And he's got a new role as artistic director of the whole group, the first time one person has been tasked with supervising all of the brand's lines. Monocle's fashion director, Daphne Ezard, spoke to Alessandro about the importance of Pitti Uomo and the influence of skiing on his latest collection. But he began by talking about how it feels to be back with Zegna in Pitti for the first time in a decade.
It's a very special yet romantic moment because I go back to my roots, because I went back to a company which is a very special company in Italy, not only for the aesthetic, but also because what they do, what they did, the fact that they start from a raw material and they go until the final product in store is really important to me, and also was part of my decision to make this change in my life and my career. Today is also a special moment because it's the first time we show a new collection belonging to the new strategy, which is going more thinking about one big brand with three lines inside, which are couture, devoted to the bespoke, Ermenegildo Zegna, but also goes until the make-to-measure and Zegna, which is sportswear and activewear. So today is the day of Zegna. We showcase at Pitti Uomo. We are back at Pitti Uomo after 10 years, which is also a very important thing for us. We were discussing before with Gildo, and he said to me, how do you feel? I said, oh, you know, there is a lot of emotion. It's not only a fresh moment, it's also a particular moment. And he said, you know, I feel the same, because after 10 years being back in a place like Florence, and mostly in Pitti Uomo with all the journalists, all the buyers, and so makes a special mark in our strategy and life.
And why did you take this decision of coming back to Pitti after 10 years? Why is it so important to be at Pitti?
You know, mostly for Zegna, which is dedicated to the activewear and the sportswear. As you can see from the aesthetic that we decided to design, we go from ski suits to jogging wear, from boot to training shoes and so on. This is a place where all the real buyers and journalists interested in the technical product and all the information related to are coming. And so I don't think it would have been appropriate to do a fashion show, where on the opposite, I think it's better to have an exhibit with an event related to it and with a possibility to spend time and describe the product, tell the stories and the secrets behind it.
I had the chance to discover the collection. I have to say it's absolutely fabulous and really beautiful. I'm very happy I saw that. The collection is a tribute to the Zegna skiwear project of the 70s, right?
Yeah, exactly. Thank you for it. Actually, Zegna, for all his life, decided to invest in other projects which weren't related only to fashion, textile, and creativities. So the fact of being into the world of art, as the Zegna Foundation is one example, but also the ski resort that the Zegna family own is a great example. So basically, long time ago, 60 years ago, this is the anniversary of the 60th year, Zegna decided to invest in this valley in the north of Piemont, and they built Gildo's grandfather, Ermenegildo Zegna, and then his father, and then Gildo himself and the family, they invested in this fantastic ski resort place, which today, being a modern place, has all the hotels and bars and restaurants and small food location or very eclectic and special restaurants, of course all the ski places and all the facilities, as well as in summer, all the summer activities from cycling. Has been several times the final arrive of one of the stages of Giro d'Italia, the cycling Tour of Italy, for example. So I thought that was good to be related to a real thing. And the second starting point of this collection of a new strategy of Zegna is that in the 70s, inside Zegna, there was a very famous designer at that time, a woman that today is 75. Her name is Nanni Strada, and she was the sport technical designer of the time.
Have you met her?
I did. So end of June, when I started here, I went one full weekend inside the archive, watching everything and checking everything. I visited the ski resort. I was watching all the photos and the references and so. And I discovered better something I knew already, but not that deeply, that basically the project of activewear started at the time with this designer and with a lot of projects that she did. She created a special generation of jersey fabric. She created a special generation of stitchings that were elastic inside the stitch, using machine for socks, which are stitchless. And she created this aesthetic that you see here of stripes, of a cagoule, balaclava, of ski pants, of a hooded jacket, were designed with that type of silhouette that were famous at the time, which is not today, but there was the beautiful idea behind it. Some of these products were also used by the different sport teams, including the one of the photo that you see outside. So the connection between the activewear designed by Nanni Strada, the ski resort Pilmonte owned by the family, and all the storytelling, which is a real one coming from them and through the decades, inspired me and the team to design this new Zegna collection and will be the milestone around which we will build the future Zegna sport collections.
That was Alessandro Sartori speaking to Daphne Azard. It's nearly time to say goodbye from this season's edition of Pity. But before we go, let's catch up with Paul Smith. The British fashion legend unveiled a collection influenced by sportswear and, in particular, his love of cycling. The setup of the show was as innovative as the collection. Smith was joined by 8 dancers and gymnasts who performed a routine choreographed by Jamie Neal to demonstrate the versatility of the clothes. Daphne caught up with Paul before the show.
We're here at La Dogana with Mr. Paul Smith.
Hello.
At Pitti.
Hello.
Hello. So, Paul, you're launching today. It's a very special day for you. You're launching a big new collection called PS by Paul Smith. What is it all about?
This is the third season of PS, but the launch is really tonight because the last 2 years, year and a half, I've been just trying to understand the ingredients, the correct ingredients for the collection. The main point is that we're making a presentation this evening which will be showing more technical, more sportswear aspects of the collection. Of course, if you went into the showroom, you can see all the beautiful suits and the shirts and the more classical things, the blue jeans, of course. But tonight it's very much about me because I travel on an aeroplane every week of my life. So here you'll find a raincoat, a mac, we call it a packaway mac, which goes into a small bag. You'll find a great parka that you can get wet in and it's completely waterproof. You've got trousers which you can put into a washing machine and then take them out to put them on the radiator and wear them tomorrow without pressing them. So very practical things. And of course, because it's a second line, it's a diffusion of the main line, very reasonable prices as well. So it's quite interesting. It's like an area that I've really not been in before. So I'm quite excited about it.
So it's good for you, but it's also very good for Monocle readers because they travel a lot and they're curious. You were saying you create this collection for young people that are in search of experience.
Yeah, I keep saying the young people, but in fact, the clothes that you see, with the exception of maybe one jacket, which is very much like a cycling jacket, but the others, to be honest, you could be 18 or 80. It's not really for young people. I suppose what I meant was that I've observed that the way people are spending their money now has changed enormously over the last 2 or 3, 4 years. And whereas there used to be a lot of money spent just on fashion, a lot more money has been spent now on people's love of sport, keep fit, walking in the countryside, and experiences. You know, people suddenly wanting to go to Chile or Patagonia or something. And so these clothes I've developed are things that will fold up really small in your backpack, that are waterproof or showerproof or breathable, or in the case of one jacket, all of those things. So we've got this jacket called Stay Dry Jacket, which is absolutely fantastic. All the seams are welded together so the water can't go in, but the jacket breathes. You can get in the biggest rain shower and you won't get wet. So very exciting, really, and practical.
You used to have until last year 14 lines in Portsmouth's world, yeah. And you've reduced it to 2 lines only. Why did you make this decision?
I was doing 8 lines twice a year. Now it's 2 lines for men and 2 lines for women. And like your world, when you're reporting or a radio program, you know, things move all the time. Trends change, and it seems the right time to be more simple, to keep more focused. But in 4 years' time, 5 years' time, maybe, you know, I go back to 6 lines again. But that's the nature of the game, the nature of fashion. Anybody who gets too much in a formula in the fashion business, you know, I've been designing clothes for 40 years now, which is remarkable in itself, the fact I'm still, I hope, relevant.
Of course. You're normally showing in London or in Paris. How come you decide to come in PT? You were here 20 years ago, I've heard. How do you feel about coming back here? You're a guest, one of the special guests. Yeah. What does it mean?
Well, the last time I showed here in Milan was 1991, and I was the first designer to be invited to have a fashion show at Picciuomo. And so obviously to come back is really exciting. And I love Florence, and I think Picciuomo is a very modern exhibition because it attracts not only more established companies, but lots of individual companies, which I think is really essential. I show in Paris my main line next week. And I'm showing men's and women's together for the first time. So that's another new thing. So I seem to be on a roll with new things, but all very good.
That was Daphne Azard speaking to British fashion designer Paul Smith.
Thanks, Jamie. That's it for this week's show. My thanks to our editor, Alex Funnell, and to all the team out at Pitti. If you have any comments or queries, then do email me. I'm at hrs@monocle.com. And remember, we're back next week at the same time. You can always listen again or dip into our back catalogue at monocle.com, SoundCloud, and iTunes. And if you're on iTunes, please leave us a review. It really helps people find the show. You've been listening to Section D. I'm Henry Rees-Sheridan. And until next time, it's goodbye from me.